You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. First things first, congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers for winning the World Series. If you want to get any coverage of the World Series, check out the Locked On Dodgers podcast, the Locked On Rays podcast, as they'll have to discuss a very questionable manager decision by Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell out of the game when he was dealing, or of course, Locked On MLB. I'm sure Sully will be discussing all of that as well. So check out those great podcasts to get coverage of the World Series. For us here on Locked On Mets, I spoke with Jordan Grossman, a fellow writer at MetsMorizeOnline.com, and we went through a lot of different topics from the offseason. You'll hear our conversation today and also into tomorrow. The first half of the show, I'm also going to touch on some recent rumblings about the sale with Steve Cohen, but for the rest of the podcast, we're going to be focused on Francisco Lindor. Jordan gives his take on whether the Mets should make a move to trade for the all-star shortstop. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. And as I just mentioned, you can find me on MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, let's touch really quick on the sale of the Mets. All the reports so far have indicated that the owners will vote on the sale on Friday. In the meantime, we still have the Mayor de Blasio situation where the Mets need him to sign off on passing the lease over from the Wilpons to the Cohens. His people are quote-unquote working on it, going through and doing all the research on Cohen's past. And if there's anything that comes up that would halt this sale, at this point, no one believes that's going to happen. But the question more is, what's the timeline with de Blasio, and can he hold the Mets up to the point where Steve Cohen can't get to work on Friday as soon as he passes that final vote of the owners? The good news that we learned today, according to Andy Martino of SNY, is that apparently Cohen has 25 yeses right now. Other reports that I saw weren't as set to a number, but everyone agrees across the board that he might have two or three dissenters, mainly Jerry Reinsdorf, but overall, this thing's going to get done. So that is the good news. What we're going to be worried about here is what's the timeline, because as you know, and as I've outlined, the offseason starts now. You got a 5-day window to negotiate with your impending free agents. Then free agency opens, and it is trade season and everything else. So the Mets need to move in this quick. We'll talk about that more throughout the week. Like I said, got this conversation with Jordan Grossman. I'm going to play it now, and that'll also be part of the show tomorrow. Here it is. All right, Mets fans, I said I was going to bring you some more voices to talk about Francisco Lindor and the rest of the offseason, and I'm very happy to be joined by another writer for Mets Mirage, Jordan Grossman. You can find him on Twitter at MetsFanSince02. He also hosts his own Mets podcast, the We Are Mets Believers podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the shout out. We're trying to get more viewers on my podcast, trying to get up there like you.
There you go. Yeah. There's enough room for all of us to talk about the Mets, especially with the good times that lie ahead. I got to ask, Mets fan since 02, is that just when you were old enough to start rooting, or was there something about 02 that made you a Mets fan?
That 02 was the first year I went to a Mets game. So that's really what I say when people ask me like what year I became a fan. But I really started watching the team in 05. And then I completely fell in love with them after 06 and that like amazing run.
I'm right there with you. I was a fan because my dad was a fan. So I was a fan. And there's a story in our family about how I was at a laundromat with my dad crying over Robin Ventura being traded. So I cared, but 06 is what brought me into David Wright, Jose Reyes, that whole group. So probably around the same age. But yeah, obviously big Mets fans. And I really have enjoyed following you on Twitter since you joined Mets Merize. And I like your opinions on a lot of this stuff. And I think you are someone who I've seen that's pretty active advocating for Francisco Lindor. What do you think he would mean for the Mets?
I mean, this is a guy that you can build your franchise around. He's, you know, I see a lot of people talking about Amed Rosario and Andrés Giménez. And sure, those guys are good players. Rosario had a really good second half in 2019. Andrés Giménez displayed some really nice defense in his 50 games this year. But Francisco Lindor, he's a game-changing bat. He's, like I said, that guy you can build a franchise around. In his four full seasons as a major leaguer, he's averaged 30 home runs a season, 83 RBIs, 20 stolen bases. Like, you can't find that kind of talent every single day. And when you have a chance to grab him, I think you have to do it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're watching Mookie Betts right now at the Dodgers. And, you know, Betts is a better player. But the one thing that I've noticed is even when Mookie Betts goes 0-for-4, you know, he's making those plays in the outfield. There's little things that happen with some of these superstars where they're just winning players. And I think Lindor fits that same category.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about the offense. He has, 1 second here, I'm going to pull it up. He has 46 defensive runs saved at shortstop since 2015, which is fourth among all shortstops with a minimum of 5,000 innings in the field. And also his, like we talked about with the offense, his 118 weighted run created plus is fourth for all shortstops. And him and Trevor Story are the only two guys in the top five in like both categories for that position. So just to have that dual threat, like you said, a winning player, even if he's not hitting well, he's still going to make winning plays in the field. He'll still steal a couple of bases and he can orchestrate a run on his own. It's just, he's so impressive in so many different ways, and he can kill different teams in so many different ways.
You can hear Jordan's take on what it will take to trade for Francisco Lindor in just a minute. But first, Built Bar is back with 18 amazing flavors, including the 6 new flavors. The Caramel Brownie Bar, Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars, coming covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy too, with the bars coming low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and now you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. What I want to know is, what would you be willing to give up to get Francisco Lindor?
So just, I think the Mookie Betts thing, a lot of people like to compare it to that kind of deal, but it's not exactly the same, just because the Dodgers took on David Price and the 3 years and $96 million left on his contract as a 34-year-old who obviously had some struggles with Boston. But I think with Cleveland, they really are going to want an outfielder, because just because they're so depleted in that area. I think their three starting outfielders this year had a combined OPS of somewhere around 650, which is probably the worst in baseball. I haven't looked, but it's got to be right down there. So I think they're going to want someone from the group of Nimmo, JD Davis, McNeil, and Dom Smith. And then also they're going to want one of the starting shortstops just to fill in for Lindor right away, competing in that AL Central, because, you know, there's the Twins, the Indians, the White Sox, and there's a giant step off in that division. So they can still compete next season, even if they get rid of Lindor. We saw them do that with Trevor Bauer when they traded him to Cincinnati. They were still a competitive team. So they're probably going to want one of Giménez or Lindor, and possibly a top prospect like a Brett Beatty or a Mark Vientos. So I think I'd be willing to part with, from the outfielders, you know, Davis and Nimmo. I'd be less likely to do it with McNeil and Dom Smith. And then in terms of shortstops, I think I'm ready to let go of Amed Rosario. I love him as a prospect, but I think the inconsistency there is just too much, and maybe he needs a new beginning.
So this is where I had you on. It's confirmation bias. You're saying everything I think. For me, I feel like the deal and what I've been saying is it's Brandon Nimmo, and then you tell the Indians to pick their shortstop Rosario or Jimenez. And the reason I say that is the specific deal is because I think Brandon Nimmo, first of all, will be awesome in Cleveland. I mean, he's going to get to play left field or right, but he's going to get to play a position that suits him. He's going to get to go there and feast on the Royals and the Tigers pitching, you know, 38 games a year. I mean, I bet you he puts up maybe even an all-star year if he goes out there, but that lets them win now. And then, like you mentioned, you get a shortstop that can fill in for Lindor right now. I think they'd probably choose Jimenez, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was enough of a deal to maybe push this along. You might have to throw another prospect in there. I would hold on to Ronnie Mauricio. I think that's where I draw the line. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
So for me, the untouchables in terms of prospects are Mauricio, like you said, and then Francisco Alvarez and Matthew Allen. I think those three have to be off the table in a deal like this. And but then when you go 4 through 30, when you look at the top 30 prospects, I think the rest of those guys, if they took one of them, I wouldn't really have any issues. You know, Mauricio, like you said, he's such a tantalizing prospect. Francisco Alvarez, we saw in, I don't know if you saw the video, in instructional leagues, he's just crushing the balls off the Mets' top pitching prospects. And then Matthew Allen, he's displaying a really nice changeup in addition to his curve and fastball, which has already been an exceptional pitches. So to have that three pitch mix is really exciting, and I wouldn't let go of any of those three guys.
Yeah, you can't give up any more pitching prospects. I mean, it's almost like if you had to do a throw-in, I almost wouldn't want to throw in Zabacki just because you've gutted so many of those guys over the last 2 years. The one thing that I think is interesting about this, and I wrote an article, I don't know if you saw it on Mesmerize over the weekend about it, is if you just really go through the teams that could make this trade, I mean, it's kind of limited. There's so many good shortstops in the league right now. I think because of that, the Mets might be able to negotiate this with some leverage because I don't know how many teams can offer them, you know, two major leaguers right now that can contribute to their starting lineup and, you know, a little bit extra on top.
Yeah, I think like you said, the Mets are a really good match here, not only in terms of prospects, but just we know Steve Cohen is close to owning the team, and there's going to be a huge influx of cash coming in and a lot of money coming off the payroll this coming off season. And I don't know if there's a lot of teams out there. I did get a chance to look at your article. I think the Angels, maybe just because I know Moreno likes to throw around money. He's not afraid to do that. But a lot of teams this offseason are going to be cutting payroll. We've seen multiple reports that because of COVID-19 and having no fans, you don't really know how much money is going to be out there. And I don't think the suitors are going to be there. The Phillies, they seem like they don't want to pay JT Realmuto the money that he wants. So I don't know why they wouldn't want to pay Realmuto and then all of a sudden pay Lindor. So they seem out. And I think those were the big three for me. Maybe the Dodgers sneak in there, but they have Corey Seager, who we've seen in the postseason. He's pretty awesome. Like, there's no need to for them. Maybe they can move them over to third, but I think the Mets are right at the top of the list here for in terms of trade fits with Cleveland.
I think so too. I think, you know, I threw the Cardinals out there. I mean, I talked about this. I think it was Friday's show or Monday's show. I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple other teams that might sneak in there, but I think the Mets have this right now where they're in pretty good position if they want to make the move to get him. I think he'll be on the table for the Mets. That'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. Tune in tomorrow to hear the remainder of my conversation with Jordan Grossman as we go over some of the other big names the Mets could target this offseason, including, of course, Marcus Stroman, Trevor Bauer, Jackie Bradley Jr., and JT Realmuto. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.